Welcome. It's a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from holidays of radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Later in this hour, we'll hear Philco Radio Time with Bing Crosby from Christmas Day, 1946. But first, we continue our 26-part series of The Cinnamon Bear with Episode 21, heard on December 19, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
Judy and Jimmy, with their friends Cinnamon Bear and the Crazy Quilt Dragon, have made a marvelous discovery. As you'll probably remember, they're still in the Golden Grove, where they were supposed to find an important clue under the singing tree. But that was practically impossible, because all the trees in the Golden Grove looked exactly alike. Too tired to look further, they fell asleep. And when they awakened, they discovered they'd been napping right under the very tree they were searching for. And that wasn't all they discovered. For right beside them stood an enormous silk hat with windows and a door in it, and pinned to the door a note which Jimmy is about to read. Let's listen.
Bless my stuffing, but I'm getting curious. What does it say, Jimmy?
Well, it says, no trespassing unless you are Judy, Jimmy, Cinnamon Bear, and the Crazy Quilt Dragon.
My, this is interesting indeed.
I'm going to open the door.
Very comfy looking, I'd say, at a quick glance.
My, my. Four chairs, each by a window. Stylish stuff. All the trimmings.
And look, three are just our size, and one's big enough for Crazy Quilt.
It's an awful nice place to sit, all right. But I don't see what this has to do with getting the star put back together again.
Wait. Here's another note on one of the chairs.
Read it, Patio Cinnamon.
Okay. Very interesting indeed. It's from Melissa, just as I thought.
A logical supposition, my friend, but proceed to enlighten us as to its contents.
Very well. Dear friends, the flying hat will take you out of Maybeland to a place where you should have no trouble getting your precious silver star mended. When you are ready for the flight, just say, Topper, Topper, off we go to the land of ice and snow. Upon your arrival, ask the first person you meet where to go to find Nicky Froodle. Lots of luck, Melissa. Wait, here's a P.S. Do not be afraid of the flying hat. It is equipped with the very best Maybeland motor.
Oh, this is awful exciting. But I wonder why we have to go to a land of ice and snow to get the silver star fixed.
It is indeed mystifying. But undoubtedly, Melissa has some definite reason for sending us there.
Well, I don't want to rush you, but we're wasting time. Suppose we just do as Melissa says and get going.
Always the practical man of affairs, Jimmy. Let us go indeed.
I'll say the rhyme that Melissa told us to use to make the flying hat go. Everybody ready?
Surest thing you know.
Indubitably.
What?
Just skip it.
Topper, Topper, off we go to the land of ice and snow.
Oh,
we're going right up.
We're going up. Boy, this is swell.
Oh, why, we're way over the tops of the trees already.
And look, the Golden Grove looks just like a lot of melted butter.
Always thinking of your tummy. No mind for finer things.
Look, I bet that's the end of the Golden Grove.
Yes, and beyond it, I can't see a thing. Can you?
The Wintergreen Witch knew what she was talking about when she said that abyss was bottomless. Why, the closer we get to it, the bigger it looks. If she ever dropped the pieces of our star in there, goodness knows where they'd stop. Probably keep right on falling.
And speaking of falling, we're right over it now.
Goodness, suppose we fall.
Oh, quit your worrying. Melissa said this flying hat was equipped with the best Maybeland motor, didn't she? Well, I'll bet on Melissa any day. She's swell.
You know, it may be just imagination, but I feel distinctly colder. Oh, what about you?
Oh, I do feel sort of chilly.
Well, now that you mention it, my stuffing feels a little bunchier than usual, and that always means it's cold.
Say, I see something white ahead. Why, I bet that's the snow country.
Right as usual, Jimmy. It's just as white as can be.
I wonder what we're supposed to do there.
You know, what I'm wondering about is this flying hat. What do we do to stop it?
Oh, I rather think it will stop of its own accord.
Yes, but when? For all we know, it'll just keep right on flying and flying and flying.
Oh, you know motors just can't keep on going forever. You gotta put something in them.
Anyway, Melissa's note said the flying hat would take us someplace. And you know Melissa always tells us the truth.
Oh, look. We're going down.
Yes.
Here we go.
We're going to land on a hill.
Oh, yes.
Hey, come on, let's get out.
Well.
Isn't it cold?
You bet. Gee, I wish I had my sweater.
I could use my green flannel underwear right now.
I'm a bit afraid my crazy quilt colors will get frozen blue.
Look at the flying hat.
Why, it's tipping itself, just like it was saying goodbye.
Look, now it's flying off.
Yes. Well, there's no doubt about it. This is where Melissa meant for us to come.
Look, everybody. Look at that shiny thing down below us. Isn't that a palace?
Anyway, a mansion. But it's a good piece down the hill.
Gee, I wish I had a toboggan. That'd take us there in a jiffy.
Well, what do we need with a toboggan? Here's Crazy Quilt. Come on, Crazy Quilt. Justify your existence.
Oh, me, just a vehicle. That's me, always doing a bit of transportation.
Poor Crazy Quilt. You don't have to if you don't want.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I was just grumbling. Tobogganing is what I've always longed to do. Climb on. Just a minute till I tuck my legs under me. Yes, there, that's right. Now, off we go.
Whee!
Oh, we're just going faster.
Oh, my. I got snow down my neck.
Gee, I got snow all the way down my back.
Yes.
I feel like a cinnamon bear frozen pudding for sure.
Let me dust the snow out of your fur, Patty, dear.
Thank you, Judy. Just a little patch back of my left shoulder blade. Thanks a lot.
Say, here's a flight of steps. I didn't see them when we landed.
Nor I, but I arrived head first. Oh, I slipped. Why, they're made of ice.
I think I see something over there. It looks like a snowman.
Why, it is a snowman. Bless my crazy quilt aunt. He's wearing a silk hat, carrying a cane, and has a cigar in his mouth.
Yes, look at his nose. It seems to be a regular red Christmas tree light.
We ought to speak to him. Remember, Melissa said to ask the first person we met about somebody called Nicky Froodle?
Uh-huh. Excuse me, Mr. Snowman.
I'll excuse you anything your little heart desires, my little sunbeam.
I mean, I beg your pardon, but...
Likewise, I will pardon you. Anything for a lady.
Well, do you know somebody called Nicky Froodle?
Nicky Froodle. Let me see. Yes, you must mean Nicky Froodle. Nice chap, Nicky. Yes, indeed. Very nice. Used to play a bit of snow tennis with him. Fine game, snow tennis. You don't play it at all like lawn tennis. Not at all. Grasping the racket firmly twixt thumb and index finger, you are safe to strike the pellet.
Yes, but my goodness, Judy, his nose has turned from red to green.
Bless my stuffing, it's just like a stop-and-go light.
How come this change of color, friend Snowman?
Glad you asked me about that, my friend. Glad you asked me. Just a gadget I rigged up last year. Quite a novelty, if I do say so myself. I was directing traffic up to the Winter Sports Carnival. Glad you like the little knick-knack. Yes, sir.
Look. His nose has changed to red again.
But despite the changeability of your olfactory organ...
My goodness, why does Crazy Quilt have to talk like that?
Showing off, that's all. He's just showing off.
Well, we are beginning to partake of the frigidity of this northern climate and would be guided to the vicinity of one Nicky Froodle.
Who?
Nicky Froodle.
Oh, yes. Didn't you mention him a while ago?
Sure we did.
I thought the name sounded familiar.
Well, where is he? Where can we find him?
Oh, so you want to meet him, eh? I don't blame you, my friends. Nice fellow, Nicky. Used to play a bit of snow
tennis. Yeah, we know. Snow tennis.
Yes. How things do get around. And who told you that, my little icicle?
Gee willikers. You just told us that yourself just a minute ago.
So I did. Well, my little lad, you may enter the presence of Nicky Froodle by going up those steps. and ringing the bell. Speaking of bells, I used to know a Swiss bell ringer. Very fine musician, very fine. Used to play Yankee Doodle on 8 sleigh bells. Touched my heart, he did.
Look at his nose has changed from red to green again. Well, we've got the green light. Let's go.
With the greatest of pleasure.
You might bring me back a strawberry snow cone on your way back.
All right, we will if we find one.
This is awful hard to get up. The steps are so slippery.
Ouch. You're telling me? I got a dent in me stuffing.
Yes, I too feel a certain lack of celerity in our ascent.
Oh, boy, here I go.
Oh!
Oh,
my, back so soon. Where's my strawberry snow cone?
Oh, come on, everybody. Let's make it this time. 1, 2, 3, go.
Oh, come on.
Wait for me, Jimmy.
Oh,
dear. All these steps I must watch. Come on now.
We made it.
There's a bell, Jimmy. Ring it.
Okay. How do you do?
Hello. How do you do?
You must be Judy, Jimmy, the Cinnamon Bear, and the Crazy Quilt Dragon. Oh, I've been expecting you for some time. Won't you come in?
Much obliged to you.
Thank you very much. Are you Nicky Poodle?
I am. Excuse me while I close the door. It's pretty cold outside. Gee, it's lots warmer in here, all right. We've been kind of chilly out there. We're not exactly dressed for it like you are in all that white fur.
Would you mind, please, if I asked a question? I don't mean to be rude, but you look like us, and yet you don't.
Oh, you see, I'm an elf.
Oh, well, Queen Melissa of Maybeland sent us in a flying hat to see about getting our beautiful silver star put together again, and she said we were to see you.
Well, that's right, Judy, but Melissa meant for me to take you to somebody else, and he'll help you. Will you please follow me up the hall?
Yes.
Gee, that's a big door. The gentleman Melissa has arranged for you to meet is waiting for you in his private office at this very moment.
My goodness, who is it, Nicky Poodle?
Why, didn't you know? It's Santa Claus.
Santa Claus? I had an idea that's who it was going to be all the time, but I wasn't quite sure. And now that I know, I'm certainly going to be on hand next time when Judy and Jimmy meet him. Yes, sir, a visit with Santa Claus is one thing I couldn't miss.
The Cinnamon Bear on Tuned to Yesterday, episode 21 of 26 from December 19, 1937. The program was written for the Transco Production Company in Hollywood, and although the creator Glanville Heisch already had the character and story for the Cinnamon Bear in mind, it was by pure chance that he and his wife Elizabeth ran into Lindsay McHarry, Transco's production manager on Hollywood Boulevard. The two planned a lunch meeting, and it was during this meeting that Glanville explained his idea of a holiday series that had, quote, all the charm and whimsy of the Oz books and Alice in Wonderland. It was Lindsay McHarry's idea to have it produced in 26 parts to play in the day after Thanksgiving to Christmas Eve corridor. And now we continue with the Cinnamon Bear on Tuned to Yesterday with episode 22 from December 20th, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
Well, the most magical and enormous flying hat landed Judy and Jimmy and their friends in a wonderful land of ice and snow. Just as Queen Melissa instructed them, they asked the first person they met where to find Nicky Froodle. He was a snowman and told them that Mr. Froodle could be found in a white palace. Up the steps they went and were met by Nicky Froodle, a little elf dressed all in white fur. Nicky invited them in and led them to a door which is just about to open on the gentleman who can tell them how to get their broken silver star fixed. And who do you think it is? Well, I'll let Judy tell you.
Santa Claus.
Willikers, You don't mean the real Santa Claus, do you, Mr. Frutal?
Of course, Jimmy. And no one else.
Honest Injun?
Honest Injun. All right, here we go.
Oh, my goodness.
Gee willikers.
Welcome, welcome, my children. Come right in. I've been expecting you.
Thanks, Santa. Don't mind if I do.
Your invitation is most acceptable. Thank you.
Come on, Judy and Jimmy. Now, don't be bashful.
Go ahead. There's nothing to be frightened about.
I guess maybe I'm silly, but it's kind of exciting to meet the really, truly Santa Claus.
Yes. You see, we never thought we would, and... Well, it's kind of like shaking hands with the president or something.
Well, don't you feel that way now? Don't you know that I love children better than anything in the world?
I guess so,
Now, there's nothing to be frightened of. Come on and sit up on my lap while I finish reading a few letters,
Thank you, Santa Claus.
There. Upsy-daisy. Comfy?
Oh, yes, thank you, Santa Claus.
Now, Jimmy, suppose you sit on the arm of my big chair. How about it?
Okay, Santa Claus.
You know, this is quite a treat for me, Judy and Jimmy. The most I ever get to see of children is when they're sound asleep.
Don't they ever see you?
Oh, no. If they're awake, they can't see me at all.
That's it. Judy and I wondered why we didn't see you that Christmas we stayed awake all night and watched. But our presents were there Christmas morning just the same.
I remember that time. I fooled you youngsters, didn't I? Now, by the way, I got your letters this year, too.
You did? Gee, that's swell.
And I hope you'll be quite satisfied. Now, let's see about your silver star.
Did Melissa tell you what happened to it?
Oh, yes, indeed. I had quite a talk with her about it. Oh, it's too bad you had so much trouble.
How did she talk to you, Santa Claus?
By short wave. Oh, I'm quite a fan, you know. Radio is my hobby when I have time to spare. Now, will you put the star on my desk so I can look it over?
You bet. There it is.
My. Certainly is all smashed, isn't it? But that can be fixed. Oh, yes, easily fixed.
Can you fix it in time for Christmas? Of course, you understand how important it is for us to have it by then.
Ho, 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 ho. Indeed I do. I'm not going to fix it myself. No, that's a little out of my line. But I will take you personally to a man who specializes in that sort of work. Oh, Nicky.
Yes, Santa?
Have my sleigh and reindeer ordered, will you please? And oh, yes, have a couple of fur suits sent up for Judy and Jimmy. It's pretty cold out.
How about Crazy Quilt and me?
What? Oh, you were so quiet, Patio Cinnamon, that I almost forgot about you. Well, you're pretty well fixed by nature for the cold country. But I don't know about the Crazy Quilt Dragon.
Why not Santa Claus?
Well, you look as if you were just a bit the worse for wear. Let's see, a number of seams ripped and... Oh, quite a tear over there.
Oh, yes. I did that when I tobogganed down to your palace. Oh, gracious.
Well, I think a bit of tailoring wouldn't be amiss. Oh, Nicky, call the tailoring establishment and arrange for a complete overhaul for the Crazy Quilt Dragon.
Oh, thank you, Santa Claus. I'm not too vain, I hope. But I don't feel my sartorial best when I've got so many rips and tears.
Is that all, Santa Claus?
Yes, I think so.
All right. Send up 2 fur suits to Santa Claus's office immediately. And
what size?
He wants to know what size, Judy.
I don't know. I guess about like yours.
Size 9 3/4.
9 3/4, okay.
Have the sleigh and reindeer out in front of the palace.
Sleigh and reindeer, okay.
And tell the tailor shop to expect 1 Crazy Quilt Dragon for a complete overhaul.
Complete overhaul for Dragon, right.
All right, now come along, Judy and Jimmy and Cinnamon Bear, and follow me. Nicky Frutle will show you where to go, Crazy Quilt.
Oh, thanks ever so much, Santa. Complete overhaul, eh? Not bad.
This way, Crazy Quilt.
Well, goodbye, all. When I see you next, I promise a complete revelation.
Now, just a second while I button up my coat.
Here are the fur suits, Santa. The service is extra good today.
Oh, fine. Now help yourself, children. You need any assistance with the fastenings?
No, thank you.
Gee willikers, we look almost like Cinnamon Bear.
Well, all set. Oh, it's pretty chilly out.
Well, we don't mind it now.
I don't see the snowman.
Well, I expect he's gone to lunch.
Oh, look, Judy. Here come the reindeer.
Oh, my goodness. Aren't they pretty?
Gee, they're swell. Would you let me hold the reins a while, Santa?
Oh, I'm afraid not, Jimmy. You know, these reindeer are funny. They won't obey anybody but me. You see, they're my own special private reindeer. And this is the sleigh in which I make my yearly visit to the world. All right, everybody. Here we go. Hi, Dunder and Blitzen.
My goodness.
Can you get everything into this one sleigh, Santa?
Well, not as much as I used to. I have to tie on a couple of trailers now. Oh, see that building over there?
Sure. What is it?
That's the candy factory.
Oh, it's a good thing the candy pirates don't come up here.
Oh, we take care of them, all right. Now, over there is the doll factory, Judy. And that one back there is the mechanical factory.
What are you making there, Santa?
Oh, toy trucks, engines, bicycles, electric trains, all sorts of things. You know, I have a crew of specially trained brownies and elves in each of these factories, and they're busy all the year round.
Do you ever have anything made in the big palace where you live?
Oh, a few special things. But that's where the toys are stored when they're finished. And every day there's an inspection in the grand hall. Oh, maybe you'd like to see one of the inspections after your star's fixed. How about it?
You bet.
Who is it you're taking us to visit, Santa?
Oh, you'll see in just a minute, Judy. His house is right over here. Oh, boys. Oh, now, this is one of my best friends. Listen to him sing. That'll tell you who he is.
I'm Jack Frost, the world's most famous painter, and I deal in winter fixtures that are lovely to behold. I can paint a million pictures with my brushes and my mixtures, but I like the work much better if my feet were not so cold. I'm colder than November. I'm colder than an Eskimo. I'm colder than a clam. Brrr. I'm colder than December. It's impossible to realize how cold I really am. I'm Jack Frost, the world's most famous painter. And according to the census, I'm the only one who knows how to frost the roofs and fences with such gorgeous consequences. But I'm feeling most despondent, 'cause my nose is almost froze. I'm really rather chilly. I'm colder than 100 polar bears have ever felt. This may sound rather silly, but I'd buy a radiator if I thought I would not melt.
Bless my stuffing. So that's Jack Frost. I felt his fingers many a time, but I've never seen him.
Look at all the icicles on his cap.
Hi, Jack. Some friends to meet you. Here's Judy, Jimmy, and the Cinnamon Bear.
How do you do? Come in, won't you?
Thanks, Mr. Jack Frost.
I'm glad you dropped in. I'm on my vacation now. Nothing for me to do out into the world after the snow comes.
Jack, my little friends Judy and Jimmy have had a bit of trouble with a silver star which belongs on top of their Christmas tree.
Yes?
It's been badly smashed and needs fixing. Show it to him, Jimmy.
Here it is, Mr. Frost.
Oh, that'll be easy. I'm extra good at stars.
I've often admired your work on the windows, Jack Frost.
Thanks, thanks. Yes, I do fairly good work, but I'll never be really satisfied until I learn how to frost a chocolate cake.
Oh, Mother can frost cakes like everything. Maybe she'd teach you.
Good. Next time I'm down your way, I'll try to find time for a lesson. Now, if you'll just step this way into my laboratory.
My, my. Just look at all the brushes and things.
Willikers, it's wonderful.
This is where Jack does all his research work. Plans all the designs for his window displays.
It's beautiful.
Now, let's see about the star. This won't take a second. Just a bit of magic snow cement here and here and here and there.
Oh, why look, dear. Jimmy.
Well, gee, bless my stuffing.
Our silver star is all beautiful again, just like it was before. Can I touch it, Mr. Frost?
Oh, not for a minute. I'll put it here on the windowsill for a bit. It has to be exposed to the cold north wind to get good and solid. Now, while we're waiting, I'd like to show you a few of the designs I'm working on for next year's frosting.
Hmm, there's a big star in one of your designs. You like stars, Jack Frost?
Better than anything.
How many points do you put on your stars?
He puts 5, Judy. You can count them for yourself.
I wonder how many there are on our star. I'll look and see. Jimmy! Santa!
Why, what's happened, Judy?
The star! It's not on the windowsill. It's gone.
Well, if it isn't one thing, it's two others. I was positive Judy and Jimmy had the star for keeps this time, but that's where I was mistaken. One thing is certain, however, if they don't get it mighty soon, it'll never be on top of their Christmas tree by December 25th. Let's be sure to listen next time and see what's happened.
The Cinnamon Bear, on Tuned to Yesterday, episode 22 of a 26-part series from the 20th of December, 1937. This is an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now on to Philco Radio Time, starring Bing Crosby. Heard on ABC on December 25th, 1946.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter, his chorus and orchestra, the Charioteers, Skitch Henderson, and starring Bing Crosby.
Thank you very much. A couple of teenage tunesmiths around Hollywood here, Mel Torme and Bob Wells, have penned an item which I consider quite appropriate for tonight. It's sort of a musical Christmas card. Skitch and I'd like to do it for you. It's called The Christmas Song.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make this season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa is on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you. many ways. Merry Christmas to you.
Imagine a Christmas program without jingle bells. It'd be like Christmas without mistletoe or something. We're prepared. We're not going to disappoint you because John Scott Trotter has assembled a bouncy version of this perennial favorite. Looking at my libretto here, I see there are parts for the Charioteers, the vocal group, Skitch, and oh yes, Crosby catches a cadenza or two. Matter of fact, I open the affair vocally. Roll them, John.
Jingle, 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 jingle,
jingle. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells and bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. And that little number just fractured the vocal group in the Charioteers through in 8,482 jingles and never dropped a jingle. That kind of vocal work will give you a lower plate wobble, I guess. And now, here's a jolly Noel from us all. I guess White Christmas could stand one last delivery before the season ends.
Just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. May your day be merry. Christmases be white.
Present Charles Tazwell's Christmas play, The Small One, a story for those who like Christmas and small donkeys. The same winter sun that dances on the winter snows up north sprawls indolently at ease in the thick white dust of El Camino del Norte, Old Mexico. A passerby, weary from the heat, has paused to rest in the cool, dripping shade of a pepper tree and has dropped off to sleep. He's suddenly awakened by the shrill voice of Pablo, aged 10, who stands with bare brown legs wide apart in the center of the road and bitterly addresses a small, discouraged, disreputable donkey.
A donkey? A donkey you call yourself a stupid old fine animal with four stout legs, one on each corner, a most splendid tail to shoo off the flies, and a most handsome head stuck in the front to point the way you're going. I see. And what use do you make of this excellent equipment the good God has given you? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You're a disgrace to all the donkeys of Mexico, of all the world, of all...
Pablo.
See? Oh, buenos dias. I did not know that...
What's all the commotion here, young man? What has the poor beast done that you should be so angry?
But nothing.
Well, then why are you...
Then that is all he wants to do ever. Here it is, but 2 days until Christmas, when a load of wood could be sold in the village to buy gifts and a candle. But does that matter to this one? No, he cares for nothing, but nothing.
Well, a donkey's a donkey, Pablo. They're all the same.
But why? Why of all beasts should a donkey be so stubborn?
Stubborn? Oh, no, Pablo, that's wrong.
But he's always...
I know. Everyone says they are. They curse them and they belabor their backs with sticks and they call them stupid, but... That's because they don't know the truth about little donkeys.
The truth?
Yes. Really not stubbornness, but pride that makes small donkeys so aloof. No wind, sun, rain, pain, or adversity can touch them. You see, their pride is a shield against all the discomforts man or the elements can offer.
But what has a donkey to be proud of?
Oh, a great deal, Pablo. Bring your small beast over here in the shade. I'll explain.
Come along, Cupido.
Listen. Listen, Pablo, do you hear that? Only a small donkey can make that sound with his hoofs as he walks on the stones of the road. No other beast can do it. Sit down. Sit down, my son.
Si, senor.
Now, as I was saying, people are all wrong about small donkeys. A very long time ago, a great honor came to one of them, an honor so great that it lifted him and all his descendants to an exalted place. A place that you or I or all the world might envy. Ever since that time, every small donkey has been content to stand and drowse in the sun or the shade. For he alone of all animals, of all men, has already fulfilled his destiny.
His destiny,
yes,
senor?
Yes. You see, once upon a time, there was a small donkey. He was 14 unhappy years old, and he had worked hard and long for at least twice 14 masters. He was battered and scarred, and he presented a most distressful appearance. His tail was naught but a piece of limp rope unraveled down at the end. One of his ears stood straight up like a cactus plant, while the other hung drooping like a wilted cabbage leaf. His off hind leg had a decided stiffness.
Name.
They called him the Small One. His latest master was a woodcutter who also owned four younger, therefore stronger donkeys, but Small One was the special charge of the woodcutter's son. It was the boy who saw to it that Small One always had dry straw for his bed, and that the load of wood to be carried to the town was not too heavy for Small One's aging back. One day the woodcutter called his son to him and said,
"Son?
Yes, Father?
I have a task for you to do in the town, son.
A load of wood?
No. I wish you to take this donkey, the one you call the Small One, to a shop just inside the town gate. I have already spoken to the owner. He will give you a piece of silver in exchange for the beast.
You mean...
Oh,
you don't mean you're going to sell Small One?
He can no longer do his share of the work. Even when carrying half the load the other donkeys carry, his worn-out legs tremble and his sides work like a bellows.
But he'll be strong as the others soon. Will you wait and see? Give him a few weeks.
Enough. An old donkey is of little use. One day he might drop dead on us up in the hills, a total loss. Better to take a piece of silver and say good riddance to the beast. You will start at once. You hear?
Yes. Yes, Father.
The shop you will take him to is the second one on the left as you pass through the gates in town.
The second? But that's the tanner's.
And what of that? The Small One's hide is old, but it will make good leather.
But he's been faithful. He's worked hard. He's done his best. And you can't sell him to the tanners to be killed.
Come now. I'll have no tears. No crying over a miserable donkey. Hurry, be off with you. And take good care not to lose that piece of silver on the way home.
So, Pablo, the small boy and the small donkey began their sorrowful journey into town. The boy was heartbroken. He cried for a while. And then he tried desperately to think of some way to save his friend. The sound of the small one's hoofs on the road seemed to say over and over again, going to the tanner, going to the tanner. Suddenly it came to the boy's mind that there was a horse market in the town. If he could sell Small One to some new and kind master, the little donkey would still live, and yet the father would also have his piece of silver. Well, it was early afternoon when the boy and the Small One passed through the town gates and down the narrow, twisted streets to the marketplace.
And what about this fine animal, my friend? The mare whose sire was so famous that not the prince ever set his back. Strong of limbs, round of wind. We'll start the bid at 50.
50!
50 it is. We'll make it 51. Come, come, my friends. Are you going to let such an animal go for so paltry a sum?
Please, sir, would you like to buy a fine donkey?
What? What'd you say, boy?
This small donkey, he's for sale. Strong and willing. The price is very cheap. But what piece...
No, I don't want to buy a donkey. Be off with you.
60 is the bid. That's more like it. You are here 62. Will someone say 62? Come, come, my friend. You'll never again get such a fine horse for so little cash. Look at the proud head. See the flowing mane.
Excuse me, please. This small donkey's for sale. Would you
what
like
to... What is it you want, boy?
This fine animal, he can be bought for only one piece of silver. Isn't that a great saving? They're bidding 60 for the horse, and I know he can't do half the work a Small One. Look, he's very...
Go tempting. Away. Don't bother me.
Well, but he's...
Go away, or I'll take a stick to both your backs. And now, my friend, I present...
Eighty-three is the bid. Do I hear more? No! 83 once, 83 twice! Sold for 83 pieces of silver!
You've made a fine bargain, my friend. Now, who has the next animal for sale? Step up!
Please, sir, would you try to sell this small donkey?
Go away, boy.
Oh, but he's a very valuable animal. He's not nearly as old as he looks. It's just because he's worked so hard. And here, the one that doesn't stand up straight as a donkey should. Well, that was the fault of a careless master, not his own. He eats very little, and he's terribly strong.
This is a horse market, boy. We've no time to waste on donkeys.
But a small donkey would take such a small time.
all right, my boy. If you insist. My friend! My friend! A great bargain I have to offer you. The proud owner terms it a donkey, but it appears to me to be an animated pile of shaking bones. You can see how the moths have been at the hide. And the tail, is it a tail? Or is it the stub of a broom worn out from sweeping the courtyard? A true museum piece, my friend. Moldy with age and loose in the joints.
He is not.
Ah, but it is not seemly to laugh, my friend, because the owner assures me that this animal is fine enough to share a stall with the king's horses.
Stop! You shan't make fun of him. Maybe he's not as handsome as your animals, but he's better. He's a lot better. Small One deserves to be in a king's stable.
All right, boy. Take your donkey and move along. We've got business to attend to. Hurry up, off with you. Now that we've had our fun and disposed of the king's donkey...
So the boy and the little beast left the marketplace, Pablo. The hours were slipping swiftly by, and the boy knew he must start soon for home. that he must have the piece of silver to give to his father. He tried stopping people on the street. He inquired from door to door, but no one wanted to buy a small, tired donkey. The sun was sinking fast when he came at last back to the town gates, and he stood before the tanner's door. The boy's face was tear-streaked. The small one's head drooped so low that his limp ear almost touched the ground. The boy said goodbye to his small friend, asked forgiveness for what he had to do, and there was understanding in the little donkey's eyes. Then, just as the boy was lifting the latch of the tanner's door, a voice spoke to him.
My son.
Yes? Yes, sir?
I have a great favor to ask. Are you the owner of that small donkey?
Oh, yes, sir.
I have a long journey to make. My wife is not well. I have great need of a strong, gentle animal to carry her safely.
A small one's very strong and very trustworthy.
Yes, I can see. Would you sell him to me?
Yes, oh, yes, sir. But for one piece of silver.
One piece of silver?
Is that too much, sir?
Too much? Oh, no. A very reasonable price for such a beautiful animal.
He's not very beautiful, but he's good.
Yes, yes, I can see that. I'll be kind to him. I promise you that.
Well, then he'll work so hard to please you.
Here's your piece of silver. Come, small one.
Do you mind if I come as far as the town gate? You see, the small one
not
and
I... Not at all. You'll want to say goodbye to him, of course. You can do that while I see my wife safely on his back. Here we are. Easy, small one.
Goodbye, small one. You must be very faithful. And it isn't forever, you know. When I grow up and earn many pieces of silver, I'll buy you back. And you'll have a fine stable and nothing to do at all but sleep and eat. But won't that be nice, small one?
All right, my son. We're ready to go.
Wait, traveler.
Yes, soldier?
I must make out the record before you can pass through the town gates. Who are you?
My name is Joseph.
Your wife?
They call her Mary.
Your destination?
Bethlehem.
Pass.
Come, small one.
Goodbye, son.
Goodbye. Goodbye, small one. Be gentle and sure of foot. And carry her safe to Bethlehem.
So Pablo, the small one, traveled the many weary miles to Bethlehem. There in a stable which became a king's stable, he saw a king born. A king of men, of centuries of life, of death. Yes, the small one's tired old eyes saw the shepherds and the wise men who came to pay homage to his small master. And he heard the voices of angels rejoicing, singing. Singing the very same notes his hoofs had rung out on the stones of the road. Then it came to pass that all those who had laughed at his ragged coat, his limping gait, and his drooping ear, they all envied the small one, for he was part of a great miracle. It was a long, long time ago, Pablo, my son, but today all small donkeys stand, they dream, especially at Christmas time, they dream of the small one, the small one of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
is born Christ, the Savior is born.
Phil Go Radio Time on Tuned to Yesterday from Christmas Day 1946 on ABC. And that brings to a close this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy holidays.